You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier in the show, I spoke to National MP Christopher Luxon about the Nationals Party vote against a bill banning conversion therapy. Luxon explained that the National Party is concerned that parents could be criminalised for discouraging their children from taking hormone therapy if they wanted to transition gender. I wanted to know more about the process of transitioning for young people and how hormone therapy actually works. So I reached out to Dr. Sue Bagshaw, an expert in youth health, and she joins us live now. How are you, Dr. Bagshaw?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me on there.
No worries. So the National Party yesterday voted against the bill prohibiting conversion therapy, claiming that the law may criminalise parents from giving advice to their children. Do you agree with the National Party? Do you think that could be an issue?
Well, I'm a bit sad that they had to reject the whole bill for that because, I mean, I totally get not wanting to use the law to make parents do what they should be doing, which is listening to their kids. But because the bill itself, I think, is well past its due date. We need to have had it, you know, yesterday. Yeah, I mean, we need to be encouraging, we need to be educating, we need to be making it the thing to do is to listen to your kids and not just reject what they feel and who they feel they are out of hand. So I think, but making them criminals because they do it is a bit similar to making criminals out of young people who are under 16, especially when it's with somebody else who's the same age as them. And you know, that's a natural act as well, and making them criminals is probably not the way to go.
What's the current process for teens who want to transition? And in terms of the law, do you think the law is decent as it is? Does it need any change?
Well, to be honest, I'm not quite aware of the law around it. In terms of consent to medical care, this country doesn't really have an age of consent. The age of consent is about... we have 16 age consent for voting and for surgical operations and for taking part in research. But beyond that, actually, consent is about competency. And competency relies on a whole load of different factors which depend on brain development, social development, all those other kind of developments. And it varies. And to say every 16-year-old is capable of consenting to whatever kind of decision is... not helpful. Having said that, most doctors and nurses and other health professionals, are taught about capacity to consent, and most of them will make judgment on that.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about what hormone therapy actually is. What are puberty blockers and how do they work?
Right, well, puberty blockers aren't hormones. What they do is they encourage the brain to actually overstimulate the gland that produces the messengers to turn on the ovaries or testicles, and that's what produces the hormones. And what we're doing is actually stopping the brain from turning them on so that the very little estrogen and progesterone or testosterone is made. And it actually has been used as a treatment for a long time, especially for people who actually, for some reason or another, start puberty early so that it's not appropriate to their age. But they've been used in terms of gender transition for quite a long time now. We know it's reversible. It does affect bone density, but that also is reversible once you either add in the hormones they were born with or the hormones of the gender that they believe they really are. So it's basically puberty blockers are to buy time so that the brain can develop, because actually the classic story of people who are assigned wrongly at birth is the phrase, I think. They often feel that they're different from the age of about 3 or 4. And they usually forget about it through primary school because everybody's treated the same and your body isn't that much different from a boy's or a girl's. And it's then at puberty, when things start to grow all over the place, they go, this is all wrong. This is not supposed to be happening to me because I am a boy or I am a girl. And often these days, with the growing awareness of the existence of this type of stuff, it's always been there, but before now, we've never been able to do anything. We've now got the technology where we can do something. And now growing awareness, parents are going, yes, of course, I knew you were a boy or I knew you were a girl because I watched you and I'd love to talk with you about it. And you need to make that, you know, let your brain develop so you can make this complicated decision which is going to affect the whole of your future once your brain's developed a bit more and can understand that kind of stuff.
And is the current process of getting these puberty blockers, is the process easy for young people?
Well, it depends on the professionals who you go to. Some professionals are much more comfortable because they've been doing it longer and it's kind of what they specialise in. Whereas others haven't met a transgender person before and wouldn't know where to get to begin. But we're trying to educate and train doctors. And here in Canterbury, we've got now developing a list of trained doctors who can are comfortable with this kind of stuff. And we're also, you know, developing peer support because young people, as they explore their identity, no matter what kind of identity it is, whether it be gender, ethnicity, cultural, whatever, need support. And it would be really good if parents and professionals and teachers and everybody involved in young people's lives realize how much support they need in terms of this exploration of who am I.
And finally, is there anything else you'd like to see the government do to support young people or to support people wrongly assigned at birth?
Well, beyond more money, you mean? I think certainly legal stuff to protect people from being forced to be somebody who they're not is helpful. I think, but at the same time, we need to educate and support parents so they know how to do that well, and they understand the whole development of identity and the whole development of the brain. This is something relatively new, and so in terms of our knowledge of how these things develop, you know, all the brain development stuff, we really didn't realize 50 to 100 years ago. It's relatively new. So I think this is something that we need to all be make ourselves aware of and all help ourselves to understand what's happening.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.